This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Good morning, 6 minutes past eight, or oh, 5 minutes past eight. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. Lovely Wednesday. So, the APC primaries still ongoing, voting still ongoing. But it seems like from what we can see and what we've been hearing, it will be wrapping up soon. And you know what comes up next, counting would happen. So I'm pretty sure we're in for a long day. That's what we're in for. Many expected that we should have had this done with yesterday. Unfortunately, it has gone into an extra day. I'm pretty sure, well, we hope it ends today and doesn't go beyond today. That's the most we can say. Our focus conversation today is on, of course, the APC primaries, which is still ongoing. And we'll be looking at a few things that has happened in that primaries between yesterday and now. Most importantly is the role of the South-South in the voting pattern that we have seen from the various aspirants, those who stepped down, and also the speeches that were made by the various aspirants. You heard them, and after you listened, what has been your view? Do you think should, you know, be given a chance based on how they outlined their plans for the country? Well, my guest is a professor of political science and is also a public affairs analyst. And I'm talking about Professor Kenneth Nweke, who'll be joining us via telephone. He is in Abuja at the moment. Hello, Prof. Good morning.
Good morning, Prof.
To start off, I think I should say Happy New Week. I think it's the first time we're speaking in a long while. So Happy New Week. And how is Abuja this morning?
Of course, it's like any other city in Nigeria, looking a bit bright here, unlike Port Harcourt.
Well, at the moment, it's not like any other city in Nigeria because the APC convention is ongoing and at the Eagles Square, I'm pretty sure everybody is waiting to hear the outcome of this process. Prof, you've been following this and you've been very interested in how these sort of processes are being carried out from the PDP and now the APC. Generally, what's your opinion with the process so far? Note, it has entered an extra day. It was supposed to end yesterday, but today's the 8th and we're still on with the process. What's your view on it so far?
Of course, politics is all about conspiracy, it is all about horse trading. A lot of things that go behind the scene. Again, the way Nigeria is one country that can't be sure of anything. And in this part of the world, politics, you may not have 1+1, that will be equal to 2. And so, fraught with a lot of uncertainties because of the hot trading that goes behind the scene. And again, talking about the character of an average Nigerian politician, something that is very uncertain, a chameleon in nature, and you can't even trust even when they say stand. You shouldn't even stand because you can't even be sure of the standing, whether you're thinking about that. And so, again, the character of the average politician in Nigeria is one that the more you look, the less you see. And all that, can't be too sure of them. And then sometimes when they tell you that they have a group interest to protect, that group interest is no other than their personal interest. And so they subsume what appears to be their personal interest into a group one. But in actual sense, it's about them. It's not even about the people they claim that they represent. Again, looking at the character of the average Nigerian politician, you know, we have Nigeria divided into between the north, between north and south. And if you come to the south, you have some kind of characters in the south. The pattern of politics that they play is something that you can also be too sure. But in the north, when they want to also go one way, at times they also go one way. They even go more one way than the south would go ordinarily. And probably because, of course, in the south, you have the east, you have the west, you have the south, so to say. And so, and then the pattern of politics, if you look at the south, an average south person, he's not on his own. He, Governor Wiggins said last time, you know, it is about our people. When you think that there is obvious marginalization, you know, between us and the north, and who exacerbates, you know, that marginalization, it's about our people here in the south, and all that. And so you think that, these other ones are marginalizing you, and then you have the backing of your people. In fact, the more you think that you have the backing of your people, the more you are losing and all that. And so it can't be too sure. And then you go to the South, they are not formidable, they are not together as well in pursuing a formidable force.
Okay, prof.
The Southwest, when you want to look at it, maybe they want to go almost the same way. You saw what happened where some of the who even gave that a leading is the man from the South Park who fired the first shot, 2-3. And then the West, you know, followed suit and all that, because they have a pattern of, following their leader. You see Amosu, who had been, looking like cat and dog, you know, with Tinubu. That's the shockest moment of the time that the man had to use. And so, but that's not what the standard that we experienced. I mean,
from what you're saying, prof, yeah. Does that mean that we shouldn't really? What would be the fate? I think I'll put it that way. What would be the fate of the former Minister of Transportation? Many have questioned why Godswill Akpabio did not step down for him. Instead, he was stepping down for Bola Ahmed Tinubu. We also saw.
What do you think?
We also saw what happened with the PDP, and many have said, if we continue like this, what is the fate of the South-South in the political space of the country has been the question being asked. So from your perspective, does this mean that, the fate of the transportation minister then now would be in the balance?
Of course, what else do you expect when... your own brother, you know, became the man who used himself to, find the first shot and all that. And so, then you would also blame him, because everybody is, you know, fighting for their interest. It's about their interest. That's the problem I have even with the average voter in Nigeria. You know, the average voter follower follows sheepishly. Because I've always said that when you have political leaders in Nigeria are the only ones that have eyes to see. The followers are visually impaired. In fact, maybe to use a very soft language, visually impaired. Otherwise, you say they are blind. They can't see. They don't have eyes to see. They only see through the eyes of their political leaders. And so sometimes, when these political leaders create impression about, you know, where they want to be, where they are going, and give you all the hopes and all that, sometimes it's not also about them. It's not about the people they are leading. It's about what they want to do. So what's the character of Akpabio, for instance? Akpabio is not somebody, he's not a character, you know, in politics in Nigeria that you can rely on. And so it's not also about, what people get today. It's about being consistent. It's about having strong character. you know, because there's always a tomorrow. I mean, you can remember when Governor Wike was talking about, you know, history with, you know, judge everyone, you know, vindicate who really wants to vindicate. You see, when you complain of marginalization of a particular ethnic group against, you know, others, then when you have an opportunity, you know, to showcase that that marginalization is over, it is over, and you don't do it, and then you become part and parcel of the constituency, then how do you think that, you know, you get to the top? South-South is the economic hub of this country, whether anybody likes it or not. When you talk about Lagos today, that the Lagos is one of the largest economies in Nigeria. It is not out of the place to see it, you know, from the perspective of South-South being the hub of the economy of Nigeria. And yet, when you want to match that with, you know, our people being at the center of politics in Nigeria, you say, what do you get? You get conspiracies, you know, you get the sellout and all that. And so, because there, everyone who is, you know, on the sharing table is looking for, when Abadio took 100 million naira, you know, to go and buy from, how do I expect it? He was only Australian and then looking for how to, you know, protect himself for whatever positions he wants to also get tomorrow, you know, as a minister to sustain that. When some people sold out our own in the PDP, you know, from the South House from what the governor said, what do you think they were also doing? They were also positioning themselves for what they will get tomorrow as against the interest of our people who, I mean, produce the most resources that you have in this country all come from here. So whatever you do in the South South, which Port Harcourt or River State is the hub of the South South, whatever, you know, it has translated into some economic improvement and all that, or economic work, so to say, and you see in Lagos today, it's about River State. But again, when you come to the South South, you do not see that, you know, a unity of purpose in fighting a cause. All you see is, you know, the betrayal and the rest of them. But would you want to blame anybody? Because that is the character of the average, you know, Nigerian politician, but especially the South South. But in the Southwest, you can see them, you know, have party respect. If you look at the issue of pre-colonial, I mean, if you look at the pre-colonial era, you find that the way the North, the Southwest developed, you know, in terms of their traditional institutions as well as those from the North, very, very different. But here you have a society that is not united in fighting for a common purpose and all that. So what you see is a level of betrayal that can discourage you. But it's really saddening, you know, to find that it was your own persons who ought to be fighting for a collective effort will be the one to use himself to fire in the first. And of course, when you find that kind of thing, and then the other one follows suit.
What stops, Prof? What stops? What stops the leadership of the South South and the various political parties to have come together and hold a meeting to say, okay, so something like what the Southwest did, trying to see that they filled a particular candidate. Prior to today, we heard yesterday that it was down to five candidates, and the five of them from the southern part of the country, with a large number from the southwest, think about three from the southwest. And then eventually when the process started, we found out that all of the aspirants, it was everybody go in and get what you can out of the process. Why isn't the South South in particular in a position where perhaps it holds some sort of meetings and say, this is who we are fielding, or this is who we would bring forward to have a common front? What do you think could be responsible for that missing piece, which is having a united front as a region, like perhaps many would say the North has?
Yes, Andrew, you
ask
yourself. How many people from the South South are captains of industry that are who if they sneeze, that Nigeria's economy will catch cold. Other than the only production that we have in the South has to politics. So, if you look at the characters like Akpabio, what do you think that Akpabio has to offer? And the likes of to national politics. It is about, you know, beggarly disposition, nothing more. Because, you know, the average South person is not a stakeholder in the economic hole, apart from the oil that runs underneath our soil, which we cannot even, as a people, make claim that, you know, when we hold it down, and then Nigeria will catch you. Even when we try, you know, showcasing that, look, this is the economic hub of Nigeria, all that. How have we been able to, as a people, appropriate? Because you need to reconcile the resources you have underneath and the kind of politics that you play. Because when you have access to resources like we have oil and gas in the South, and particularly rivers, you an average rivers man ought to play very strategic role in national politics, which, for instance, our governor played. We saw that clearly in his, you know, determination, you know, to pursue a course for not only for himself, but for the people of the South, and particularly Rivers State. But who were the first people, like you said, that they blamed him? South, even when you started, people started blaming his friends in the North. But he himself knew, so he knew what he should, and then he knew where the shoe was spinning, and he raised the alarm to say, look, he wasn't even about his friends outside the Southern Nigeria, but the inside enemy that is so-called your brothers, your sisters, and all that. And so when you have a people that are so, you know, attached to the survival, I mean, their only survival is politics. The only production that you have in the South is politics. So what else? That kind of character
Okay, Prof.
In national politics.
All right, Prof. We'll just have to pause now. We'll go on a short commercial. When we return, the conversation will continue. We'll begin to perhaps x-ray some of the speeches that was made by a few of the candidates, the major ones perhaps, and then we'll take some contributions from our listener before we wrap things up. So we'd encourage that you stay on the line. Thank you very much, Prof. We'll get back to you shortly. We'll go on a short commercial now. The Morning Crossfire continues afterwards. Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire.
Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts.
Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news, and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, still very much here in the studio. The voting process, is almost done. We can see that the counting of votes would begin soon at the APC primaries holding at the Eagle Square in Abuja for who gets the party's presidential ticket. My name is Ifeemi Andrew here in the Morning Crossfire. My guest still very much with us, Professor Kenneth Nweke. And we've been discussing the APC primaries, the place of the South and the politics of the country. And yes, a lot of other things that concerns the ongoing APC convention. Hello, Prof. Thank you for staying on the line. Good morning.
Thank you.
All right, so before we go on with the conversation, let's remind you that you can send in WhatsApp messages 0809-030-6416, 0809-030-6416. That is the WhatsApp number. The phone lines will be coming up now, so you can call in and make your contributions. 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0007, 0817-923-0009. Those are the phone numbers to call. We saw what happened at the PDP primaries. Many, the governor of Rivers State came out and said some governors in the South were responsible for the outcome of that primaries. And yesterday again at the APC ongoing primaries, we saw again, and many questioned why neighboring states in the South would not be supporting each other, as we saw Godswin Akpabio declaring his support for Bola Tinubu from the Southwest. It brings many to ask the question, what is actually the position of the South-South in the nation's politics? You heard from our guest, he said quite a few things, but one of them he thinks is, we do not, what hold do we have on the nation's economy, aside from the natural resources we have, and then the other things which is dominant here, politics, and that's it. So it's more of people, according to his perspective, who are trying to secure their own, you would say, future, political ambition, personal interest, however you want to put it. What's your view on it? We'll take a few of your calls before we continue with the conversation. Bright is in on air at the moment. Okay, Abonima, I beg your pardon, Tony from Abonima Wharf is on the line. Hello, Tony. Good morning. Straight to the point.
It's about this thing that is coming from our president. Yeah, sir, it is old now. It's old. It's old. I think just imagine a man with that kind of age, if he becomes the president of Nigeria now today, after 50 years, I mean, he, what will he do? He'll start traveling like a Buhari travel, collect treatment, collect this one, collect. Let me give him a G. Let me give him a G. Let me start, man. Let me give him a G. That's my own.
All right, Tony, thank you. I will take Bright from on air, and then we'll react to what Tony has said. Nigerian, for good morning.
Yeah, good morning, my brother. Morning to your guest.
Go on.
Yeah, let me just ask the question that you are asking. Why can't our people, Akpabio, stepping down for Tinubu? I am not surprised, because the last time I checked, there have been a power tussle between Amechi and Akpabio concerning NDDC. And based on the roles to Akpabio played when Jonathan was a president, when he lost as a president, and based on the role to Amechi played when Jonathan was a president, we come in the conclusion that our people don't like, and we don't like ourselves. And remember when Wike lost 2 weeks ago, he accused the South governors of not voting for him, of betraying him. And the same thing had played yesterday and this morning. My brother, we cannot get it right, because they started it off. Remember when Amechi was campaigning against Jonathan? What would be the fate of South people, Niger Delta, to support him? We had time that we learn how to trust our own, learn how to trust our own people, learn how to fight for our own people. The same fight, the same thing he did to others, have came back to haunt him. That is politics. I know that Akpabio will not stand up for Amechi, because they are not being a good time. They are fighting for NDDC. How come that Akpabio will stand up for him today?
All right, Bright from on air, thank you very much. We'll take one more call. Samuel Rumukalagbo is on the line. We'll speak with Samuel, and then Prof, will get your reaction to the next question I'll be asking you with regards to the place of the youth in all of this situation. Samuel, good morning.
Good morning, Andrew.
All right, you're welcome. Go on, straight to the point.
Andrew, See, I saw the whole thing that you have been explaining. I don't know why we, the SASAT people, politicians, we don't like to learn a lesson. Because I think this UK phone supposed to show people or show SASAT politicians this is what is playing out in this country. But they don't want to learn. All of them, they are playing for their own selfish interest. How they will get, maybe collect, maybe position, all those kind of things. Because what Fabio did, and is exactly what he do.
Sadly, we got interrupted. The service providers. Well, Prof, let's come back to you before we go on to our WhatsApp portal. So some things were highlighted by a few of our callers. Tony said something interesting. I was about coming to that question. We have seen how the candidates, majority of them, have decided to step down for Bola Tinubu, who many have said age isn't on his side. And there have been calls for a younger, for the younger people, younger aspirants to, you know, take over the mantle of leadership. Those politicians who are stepping down also have been in favor of that call for young people to lead. So why aren't we seeing those people step down for younger candidates, but then still continue to, you know, toll the status quo, which is having older politicians in position of power?
Of course, cannot also take this away from what I have explained before, that is the guiding principles for those friendly towns. I've told you clearly, a Muslim has been in the loggerhead, political loggerhead with Ashwaju Bola Tinubu for a long time now. But how come that it was not the southwest politicians or the good contestants that do that for them? That fired the first shot. Why will you be a South person? If we just not, I mean, and then we are firing a shot with a due apology, or even without any apology to Ashwaji Tinubu and all that. He's old and he's not strong. Let's face facts. It's not a thing because he's not strong by. No, we are not saying so. Because even those who are not, who are strong, may even live, longer than those we think that are stronger today. But it's not about that. Even when he was stepping down, if you watch, he was coming down. Even with all the heavy clothes he put on his body and all that, he was being helped to come down so that he does not go down. Is that too clearly, you know, can you also compare that with probably the vice president, Osinbajo? You know, people can just walk straight to the stage, you know, smart. And then you look at somebody like Amusu, for instance, who just quietly, even when you look at Fabio, for instance, how many delegates do you think that Fabio is having in, controlling from Abaibo and all that? Most of the people who drop may not have as much as 20% of the delegates to themselves. But because of fear of unknown, fear of tomorrow, because if, for instance, Fabio, if you look at Rocha Sogrota, he said he made his money earlier before he came into politics. Look at people like Dave Umahi. They also made their money even before going to politics. You feel that they have a stake in the economy of this country, and they can sit on the sharing table and ask anybody their mind. But what is the status of an average South person? Even when we have access to state resources, how well have we been able to use these resources at least to set up industries and become part and parcel of the economic hub of this country? But as when we see other parts of the country with gas schools, not only the oil that runs underneath, oil and gas that run underneath our soil, is an empty runway, because if we cannot use the resources about his brother to bargain for some kind of political gain for our people. Then the oil and gas resources that we have are nothing to us because we are not fully stakeholder in managing.
Okay. All right, Prof, we'll just pause you there. We'll take some WhatsApp messages before we continue. This one says, Andrew, top of the morning. The trusted son of Dara has failed to clinch the APC presidential ticket. Very unfortunate. Mr. President should reappoint Chibike Amichi as Minister of Transportation to enable him complete the billions he borrowed from China. Hence, since he has lost the ticket, this is Thank God ability. This one says, hello, Andrew. What worsens Amichi's matter is that even leaders of Delta Bayelsa Edo delegates, that is Omoh Agege, Temipri Silva, and Oshiomole, are against his ambition. Sad. Anonymous sent in this one. Sad and unfortunate that our representatives in the South-South politicians are not supporting themselves. Tinubu might win, and that would mean singing the same old song about the man without age advantage, not sure of his health, and even not having enough strength for which the office requires. This one says, Amichi never stood a chance before this time. Even the DJ had to play the song, You Want to Chill with the Big Boys. By the way, that was trending on Twitter when Amichi was called out. What I even find disturbing was most of the aspirants saying that they would like to continue with Buhari's policy. Even Buhari would never want to continue with his own policy. Well, I wouldn't say that, you don't know. Ugo Sam sent in that message. We don't like ourselves, seeing the way we insult one another. That has not happened with the northern people. The northern play divide and rule. We set ourselves up to be set up. Ezekiel Isaiah sent in that one. To me, I think competition, jealousy, and lack of unity of purpose is the problem of the South-South. Joel Igbanibo sent in that one. Remember, you can drop your comments on Facebook, Nigeria Info PH. Where you can drop those comments and we'll be taking them live on the show, Nigeria Info PH, on Facebook and on Twitter. You can easily do so now. Let's see what we have on Facebook now. Some of your comments there. Okay. Just a minute. All right, we'll just continue with what we have on Facebook, on WhatsApp for now. Alozie King from Omuma says, the attempt to... All right, that's not the conversation we're having now. Why the noise? Is it a crime that Senator Akpabio stepped down for his brother, Jagaban? Remember that Amechi did the same in 2014, Engineer Ogbehi. And then, Prof, this is something that we had one of the callers said. He was also making reference to what happened when the former Minister of Transportation was Governor of Rivers State and the role he played with regards to former President Goodluck Jonathan and the PDP when he stepped aside. Is if we look at it from that perspective, what's your point? What's your position?
It's different. Here, you saw Chibukiro Chimamechi having issues with the former president. And so, in that regard, what do you expect a man who had that problem and that problem appeared to be reconciled? I mean, it was not easy to reconcile at the time, and then he found his way because everybody would want to fight for his personal interest. What going forward? Where do I survive? And then when you look at that particular one, we are looking at intra-party conflict. If for instance he decided to part ways and then move to another political party at the time because of what he thought he didn't have yet. It was a different ballgame. You know, but when we talk about inter-party, it's a different thing altogether. Because here, we are talking about same party. While Governor Wito was complaining, he wasn't complaining about 50% fighting the South-South person in the PDP convention. He was talking about the PDP person in the South are fighting. We are also talking about South-South people who are in APC.
Okay.
You see, let me remind you, Andrew. Do you know that Bankole, the late Bankole, made his speech and he never thought of, stepping down for probably announcing his surrender to back. But it was when Akpabio said that he had to come back and say, sorry, there's something I forgot to say.
then before he announced his own. And so it means that these people, not that they didn't have anything, after all, they've been talking over some days without arriving at something before all of them came to the fold. But it means that at the point where they saw that it became very, very absolutely necessary to show some kind of ethnic solidarity. And that played out. But who was used? Who used himself? It was a bad person. And so it means that as an issue, Bantle and Co. may not have planned to openly, you know, surrender to Bantle.
Okay, Prof.
You see, there's something in that. So, but it shows you clearly that, yes, it's not the same case when you say Amici also betrayed his brother. Of course, they were all fighting from different, you know, parties at the time. And so
right,
it was
Prof.
not an intra-party affair, but was an inter-party affair.
At that all right, party. Prof. Thank
so
you.
To an extent, you could justify what had happened, but not totally. Because
okay.
It's the same trend of looking for what interest that you can, you know, get
all right,
out
Prof.
of the national.
Thank you very much. We're already out of time. Thank you very much. If you can, in 20 seconds, can you, looking at the speeches made by the various aspirants yesterday, if you were to judge by the speech, if that's what you want to judge with, who would you say should have a better standing from your perspective?
Of course, said, judge me by my performance. And so, and not the amount of dollars any one of them brought to Abuja. And so, that is one thing that you must look at. Ogbonnaya Onu, he spoke, you know, so bitterly. Look at Rufus Okorocha and all that. So, all of them point to one of them on one side point to injustice measured out, especially Ogbonnaya Onu.
So, who would you say
Ruta Sokorocha, you know, talking about performance, talking about personality, character, and then being young at heart, and then being energetic, and then judging.
So, Prof, we don't have the time. If you can just, who would pick one person amongst, you listen to their speeches, one aspirant you say from your eyes, you would say, okay, who has a better chance? Or which person you think appealed more to Nigerians from the speech they made?
We need a name, Prof.
We're out of time. Just one name.
I give you to
all right, then. Thank you very much, Prof. Thank you for your time. Do have a wonderful day. Thank you for making that time for us.
Thank you.
All right, and that's it for this morning. Really amazing stuff, I would say. Hopefully, the results will be announced soon. I'll see if I could take a few more WhatsApp messages. Andrew Akpabio should not be criticized for making his choice. He did not do that for nothing. Vincent sent in that one. It is rather abhorring that we Southerners envy ourselves, cannot let ourselves self-aggrandizement not prevail over sensitive matters concerning us and our region. Good morning, Andrew. What goes around comes around. This is Ferdinand Dikeogu speaking there. And this one says, good morning, President. The South, South and East don't understand politics, but let power shift to South, South. Okay, I support the Shibadra. I pray succeeds. Sweet Tony Irebe Obigbo Port Harcourt. Well, that's the much we can take on the program for this morning. Thank you very much for your contribution and thank you for your time, calls, messages and for listening. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. We'll wait and see who gets the ticket of the APC. I'm pretty sure you'll find out all of those in the news subsequently. Stay tuned to Nigeria Info.